This is The Record with David Hyde. I'm Steve Scher. UW Professor Daniela Whitten is a young and smart, and she has a very boring job title. She's an assistant professor of biostatistics. She admits her job isn't exactly a hit at cocktail parties. But Whitten's work has generated a lot of attention. She's been named three times to the Forbes 30 Under 30, an annual list of the people who are changing our world. Whitten works with big data, like the NSA. She accumulates huge, almost unmanageable amounts of information. Like Google, she creates smart algorithms to sort through these data sets. The difference is that Daniela Whitten applies those algorithms to biology, that is, to the billions of letters that make up each of our human genome. Marcy Soman talked with Daniela Whitten earlier this morning.
Daniela Whitten, thanks so much for coming in to talk with us on The Record.
Thank you.
How did you initially get into this type of work?
So in college, I was a math and biology major, and I thought I wanted to become an experimental biologist, but it turns out that you need a lot of hand-eye coordination for that. And I'm also, like, afraid of chemicals. So I actually did spend a summer trying to work in a lab, and, I mean, it was, like, a total failure. You know, I like, spilled chemicals everywhere. It was really bad. And it became quickly clear that wasn't what I was cut out for. But what I wanted to do was be able to use math in order to answer biological problems. And it turns out that a really great way to do that is through statistics.
Your field is actually called statistical machine learning. And I don't actually know what that means. Can you explain it?
Yeah, so statistical machine learning is a field at the interface of statistics and computer science. And what it really deals with is coming up with ways to make sense of large-scale data sets coming out of biology and other fields. And the challenge of these data sets is that if you look at them and you're not very careful about how you do it, it's hard to tell signal apart from noise. And so what we do is we develop algorithms in order to process these data sets in order to identify the signal that we're interested in.
We now know that people collect large data sets. I imagine that what you're looking for differs greatly from what the NSA is searching for. So how do you narrow down all this data to find what you actually need?
Yeah, so one example of the type of data that I look at is DNA data. And so in the last 10 years, it's become possible, since the human genome has been sequenced, to actually get the DNA sequence for an individual person or even for an individual cell. And the question is, can we use that to inform treatment? Like, if a person gets cancer, can we decide how to treat them based on their DNA sequence? But it's really challenging because your DNA sequence is long. It's 3 billion base pairs.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so figuring out how to sift through the data and distinguish between what's actual signal, base pairs that are really important in how you should be treated, versus the noisy ones that we're not interested in is a big challenge.
This is like lots of data.
It's lots of data. And to make it even crazier, for a disease like cancer, you know, traditionally you learn in high school biology that, like, everyone has their own DNA sequence.
Right.
But it's even worse for something like cancer, because in cancer, mutations accrue. And so an individual woman's breast tumor, for instance, doesn't all have one DNA sequence. The individual cells actually all have their own unique DNA sequences.
Oh, my gosh.
Because mutations just occur more and more over time. And so that is an incredible amount of data. And as biology has transformed into a really data-intensive field, the hope has been that now if you go into the clinic, you'll be treated not just in a generic way like any woman your age, but rather in a personalized way based on your DNA sequence, your other molecular measurements, and that type of thing. But thus far, that hasn't become a reality. And there's been a huge gap between, like, the hype of personalized medicine and the actual outcomes.
So you're talking almost like, if I had a custom tailored dress, I'm going to have medicine that's custom tailored to my genes?
That's the idea. Or not so much that the medicine's custom tailored, because there's a certain number of drugs out there, and they're not going to develop a drug that's special for you. But rather, out of the drugs that they could use to treat you if you have a disease, they're going to choose the one that's best for you based on your molecular measurements, based on your DNA.
What kinds of ethical questions does this medicine bring up?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And it is challenging because we don't want to give a person drugs before we're sure and we've really proven in a rigorous way that drug is going to work well for them. But if we're talking about personalized medicine where every person gets their own treatment, it's sort of hard to establish that kind of success record.
Yeah, I would imagine. Are there privacy issues also with this kind of medicine, or no?
So there could potentially be privacy issues, because people are really concerned about, you know, the safety and privacy of their DNA information. But I think that those are issues that the people are grappling with and figuring out how to handle.
How does what's going on in the commercial biotech sector in Seattle influence you, or how does what you do influence what they do?
Well, Seattle is a great place to be doing this type of work. And part of the reason for it is that there is so much research and development going on within the biotech industry. So, like, for instance, I've mentioned DNA sequencing. A lot of those technologies have been developed here in Seattle and a lot of it at UW. And then there's also a lot of research going on at University of Washington at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. And so there's this really great synergy in Seattle for people who are interested in generating this type of data and also in developing methods to analyze it.
Your department is actually in the School of Public Health. How does that fit together?
Yeah.
Public health and what you do.
So biostatistics departments are often in schools of public health. And a lot of this is motivated by the fact that people in biostat departments are often doing epidemiology type studies where they're trying to understand, you know, like what are risk factors for certain diseases and things like that. And so in a way, the work that I do, you could see it as traditional epidemiology, but applied to much larger data sets that have only been around in the last 10 years.
So this is 10 years and we've seen just light years of leaps ahead in the technology and the kind of research. You are so young still at this point. What do you expect to see change over the course of your career? I mean, you've got at least 40 more years of doing this.
Well, I hope so. The thing that's just been striking in the last few years is that we figured out how to generate this data, and now there's a stalemate because we have this biological data and nobody knows what to do with it. And in terms of how to analyze it statistically and how to use it to answer the scientific questions that we're interested in. And so what I'm really hoping is that within the next few years, that's going to change. And finally, the statistical methods are going to be able to keep pace with the data that's being generated. And that would really lead to a profound shift in the way that we understand biology and the way that we treat disease.
You're talking about in a few years. How few? Is this? I mean, it feels like Brave New World. I feel like I'm talking to Aldous Huxley or something.
Well, you know, I'm an optimist. I hope for the best. But the other thing that's really fun about the field that I'm in is that the types of statistical methods that I try to develop are driven by the data. And as new types of data are always being generated, there's always going to be new statistical problems to work on.
So that's what keeps you going every day?
That's right.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Marcy Silman speaking with UW biostatistician Daniela Witten earlier today. Biostatistician. Say that five times. You're listening to The Record from 94.9 KUOW Seattle. I'm Steve Scher with David Hyde.